Om Shanti everyone. Very good morning. Today we have Jeff Bhai. You know? Do you know Jeff Bhai? Anybody knows? Yes. Jeff Bhai is very lovely child of Baba. Basically he is from Australia. But he is like Madhuvan Nivasi. Really very familiar with Madhuvan Nivasi. I have been known with Jeff Bhai so long, like 20 years. And sometimes you feel, you know, he's from Australia, but you feel he's from just like India, Indian brothers, really. You know, so the nature, you know, sanskaras, old, you know sometimes apart, it seems like he's from India. You know, this is basically like my experience, but he's from Australia and got in knowledge in 1985, and he's very special soul working with animations, VFX. If you are familiar with this whole technology, animation and VFX, then you would know, like, he has done several projects also. The first film of Brahma Kumari's animation, it was Discover, actually. If you go on counter or if you go on YouTube, you will find that Discover, it was the first animated movie produced by Brahma Kumari's about soul, God, karma, you know, the cycle. So that project was done by Jeff Bhai, you know, in the beginning. 1999, you know. So he is working with animation almost about 25 years, very long experience. And during this lockdown, we all were using this Zoom and all, and we all were using, you know, lot of animations of Sivaba, and you know, lot of, because to make people experience, we keep the, you know, support of technology. So that time lot of Sivaba's animation we got from David Bhai, and all over the world the people, they used different color of Sivaba's animation. So really very special soul. And if you go in India, like ORC, he has served there also, you know, when ORC was there. And Jeff Bhai, if you remember, we met in Agra. The museum was, you know, it's near, just near like Taj Mahal, and very good place for foreigner service, because people comes around there. So when the museum was, you know, going to build, I went there and I saw Jeff Bhai is there. He was doing something there also for art gallery. So not only in Australia but in India also, every place he used to go for Baba's service. And he's working with Godly Wood, and now in PM Park since last 10 years in Madhuvan. So he's very special soul, and today he's, you know, sharing his experiences, because he's quite, you know, senior in BK's life. So he will share the experience of such a relationship of both fathers. So it is, you know, a privilege for us to listen such wonderful experience. Welcome, Jeff Bhai.
Okay, thank you, Shilam. Om Shanti. So that was quite an introduction. It brought up some memories I hadn't thought of in a long time. Namely Agra and the ORC. I didn't realize I met Shailu in Agra. So when I came to Baba in 1985, of course, when we come to Baba, you know, we're looking for Baba. We're looking for Shiv Baba. You know, we've been doing bhakti for 2,500 years and searching for God, you know, searching for the Supreme Being. So when I came to Baba, of course, you know, you've found everything, it clicked, you know, so everything just went in, and I had no doubt about anything, you know. So, and of course, so the day after I finished the course, I started coming to Murali, And I bought every book in the center to read, you know. No matter what they had, I just bought it and read it. And because I was very, very thirsty, you know, for knowledge and experiences, and of course wanting to connect with Baba. But when I came to Baba, of course, you know, there's a Brahma Baba as well, which is now the subtle father. Of course, he used to be Sakar until 1969. And when I came to Baba, I couldn't really connect with Brahma Baba. Shiv Baba was no problem whatsoever. I guess because I was concentrating on Shiv Baba, I never actually thought about Brahma Baba much. He was just there. He was part of, I mean, Brahma Kumaris. It's in the name, you know. So when I came to Baba, in the first 2 to 3 years, I had a lot of visions because I was at this center and we had a lot of bhatis at the center. And every time I'd sit in a bhati, I'd get a vision, which was very interesting. I mean, a lot of them about golden age, some about towards the end of the cycle, some about the end of the cycle, some about the transition of the cycle, things like this. And some of them also involved Brahma Baba. So, which I guess when you, of course, we know that it's Bap Dada together, the Shiv Baba and Brahma Baba together. I mean, Brahma Baba resides now in the subtle regions after becoming Avyakt. And I always liked, for me, his Brahma Baba's description of entering the subtle regions. You know, his if you've ever read the transcript, the third day after he became Avyakt, you know, when they asked him about what it was like to actually leave the body and go to the subtle regions, and he said it was like changing your clothes and going into another room, you know, walking into another room. But when you come to Baba, I mean, for me, you bring obviously a lot of karmic baggage with you. You know, we've been performing karma or bad karma and good karma over the last 2,500 years, you know, so we have all of that to settle. And for many of us, I know from talking to many BKs in Australia, you know, sometimes we have karma with our own Lokic fathers, you know, because at this time Baba says, you know, you have three fathers. You know, you have your Lokic father, your Alokic father, and your Parlokic father. So when we come to Baba, I mean, how our relationship was with our Lokic father can obviously influence how we see the Alokic father, Brahma Baba, and his role, as well as the Parlokic father, you know, Shiv Baba. Because, I mean, the father figure is a very powerful figure in, you know, in the families. So how our relationship sometimes can reflect our connection or our understanding or our willing to have a connection and understand the subtleties and the role of Brahma Baba and Shiv Baba, you know, together. I mean, I like some of the latest Sakar Muralis that we've had, you know, about, because Shiv Baba has talking about, you know, of course he cannot do anything without Brahma Baba. You know, he comes into Brahma Baba, he uses Brahma Baba, he uses his body as an instrument, plus he uses him in order to teach as well, which is why Brahma Baba is called the moon of knowledge, you know, because he is the first one to hear Shiv Baba. Plus, of course, when Shiv Baba's in Brahma Baba, and not just for the Murali as well, throughout, you know, different parts of the day, either writing letters to the children and things like that, Brahma Baba also gets all the subtle sort of inclinations that come, the subtle thoughts from Shiv Baba, you know, because they're sharing the same space, basically, you know, sitting side by side in the same sort of same head. So, I mean, so his insights must have been very, very deep. I mean, if you think about it, very subtle as well. So for me, it took a while to connect with Brahma Baba because, funnily enough, when I came to Baba, I was very angry with Brahma Baba. It was very strange, but when I came to Baba, I mean, I was only 23 when I came to Baba, so I wasn't that old. and I wasn't that young. So, I mean, but when I came to Barbara, of course, a lot of things opened up. And like I said, I had a lot of visions as well. But I also had a lot of memories from the past and my past life. And Shailu's introduction was very interesting because he said he felt like I'm a Bharatwasi, and because, you know, I started very early on remembering my life as a Bharatwasi in my last life. You know, I remembered being an old Mataji here in India, you know, and being with Baba sort of in the last part of your life, you know. So obviously when you're in an older body and you come to Baba, you've got a limited amount of time to study before obviously something goes wrong with the body, you know, and you have to leave it, you know. So the thoughts I kept having when I came to Baba, and this anger towards Brahma Baba, and all these thoughts kept coming that the last time I saw you, and I was talking to you, last time I saw you, you were still in the body. And since that time, you have become Avyat, and I've just taken rebirth back into the old world. You know, so that was the source of the anger, was the, I was incensed. I thought it was very unfair, you know, that he became Avyakt and, you know, I just took rebirth again, which later on was, I found very funny, you know, because as a foreigner, for me anyway, as a foreigner, one of the things, because of all these memories coming up, the question always arose that why did I take birth in Australia? You know, in a foreign body, you know, what was the reason for it? You know, obviously we have karma, you know, we have to take birth where we have to settle some karma. And my grandparents were English, so I have some karma with the British from a few births ago. And there's a very interesting story about that. All this, again, anger came up towards the British when I was reading the introduction to the rise and fall of the British Raj in India. And all these thoughts came flooding about how to kick these, and I won't use the word I said in my head, out of India. You know, all these emotions came up about how to get rid of the British out of India. So I must have sort of like had a bit of a stoush with the British here in India. But these sorts of thoughts kept coming up very early on, you know, because when you come to Baba, Baba's giving a lot of energy to new children. You know, you have something called the honeymoon phase. You know, you come to Baba, you're flying, you know. And I first met Baba, I first came to Madhavan in 1986 in February, March. And of course in those days, Baba was coming twice a week, I think, you know. And you had personal meetings with Baba. So I had my personal meeting, and, you know, honestly, I don't remember anything that Baba said to me, but I was just flying. I was absolutely flying. And floating off the stage after Baba, you know, so the experiences were there, and Baba was giving a lot of power, you know, to the soul. So I had this question, you know, which eventually when I was staying here in Gyan Sarovar, and Shailu mentioned that when the first series of animations we did was Discover the Spirit Within, this DVD, half-hour DVD of the course, basically. And I did most of the animations on that. In the little room up top of here on the hall, there was Prashant Bhai, Prabhu Bhai, and myself were in this little office doing this whole thing, you know. And it was a great time. It was really sort of like, it was nothing that anyone could imagine, but so during that time, I was living here. I was actually making a coffee down in the kitchen, and I put my hands on the desk, and I got the shock because I was just came out of some yoga, and I got the shock of my life, and this thought came up from very, very deep down. I mean, it was like an emotional thought that why wasn't I born with darker skin? You know, and this was a thought that came up, and it sort of shocked me consciously, because it came up from so far down that consciously I thought, well, wow, you know, that was so deep, it came up from such a far place, you know. Then I'd better get an answer for it. And I went straight to Baba while I was just waiting there for the coffee to be made. And I went straight to Baba and I asked Baba directly, okay, this seems to be very deep down, a very deep question. Why have I taken birth in the foreign land? And the answer absolutely cracked me up. I laughed so loud, you know, because it was like the voice right here, you know. He said, you volunteered. And I thought, I volunteered. And a light went on, you know, of course, you know. Because if you're like, because of those memories of being an old Mataji and then coming to Baba and then having to take rebirth, you obviously stop in the subtle region as a gateway before your next birth, you know, which everyone, all the BKs do, you know, all the daddies have done. I mean, everyone does. I mean, all the souls who have left their body in Australia and we've had Borg messages for, they all spend time with Baba before taking birth again, you know. So, and I sort of like, I don't know if it was a memory or it was just my imagination, but I can imagine myself, you know, upon leaving the body and finding yourself in the subtle region, you know, I had this sort of like picture of me sitting there, and then maybe there was a few souls there. I can imagine a few souls there, and Baba asking, okay, who wants to do service in foreign lands, you know? Because I was born in 62, you know, so 1962, so it was the early 60s, so Sakabra Baba was still there. So this was, you know, obviously Shiva Baba was asking who wants to go do service in foreign lands, you know, so I must have put up my hand. Because really, if you think about it, Baba doesn't force any of his children to do anything. He's a very loving father, and he suggests and asks, and you know, but he's very, very, very clever as well, because he knows the interest that we have, so he can ask the right question in order to get the right response, you know, because Shibaba is basically not a mind reader. He says that sometimes in the Sakamurali he says he's Jani Janaha, sometimes he says he's not, you know. So of course, I mean, the more subtle we have, the more yoga we have, we can pick up obviously thoughts and intentions of others, you know. Have you ever experienced that? If you've ever been in deep yoga, and then you know, automatically you start to know what that person either wants or is thinking. You know, it's not that you can hear, you know, words in your head or anything like that, but you have this inclination about what they need or what they want, you know. So that's the subtle power of the yoga, you know. And I started experiencing that from the I think it was the late 80s. I had a really nice experiencing walking across the courtyard, and I could hear someone just saying, and it wasn't me, because they were saying, basically, I don't want to die, you know. And it wasn't my thought, and I stopped and I thought, wow, that was a very powerful thought. Who was that coming from? And I looked around, and one of the seniors was walking behind me, you know. So it was quite interesting, because they were having health problems, you know, serious health problems. So that thought, and we had just come out of a bhati, you know, yoga, so in the meditation hall, so when you're in that subtle sort of like stage, you can pick up thoughts and intentions. And it's the same with our relationship with Bapdada, you know. When we start to get more subtle, we start to have more yoga, we can start to feel our shift in our relationship, you know. And especially because, I mean, if we do carry a bit of karma from past lives, especially with fathers and things like that, like I said before, you can have these things towards Brahma Baba, you know, these issues, you know. And I know from many brothers in Australia, they have a bit of a problem connecting with Brahma Baba, because especially as a father figure, you know, because their lucky father is still alive, you know. You have Shiv Baba, so Brahma Baba is there as a medium, but what relationship can I have with him, you know? So, I mean, for me, once I'd gotten over that initial sort of anger and things like that, I started to actually think about Brahma Baba's role more, you know, because you have to think about his role, because like Baba says in the Sakamuralis, I mean, and even Avyaktamuralis, there are no Brahma Kumaris without Brahma Baba. You know, his role is so essential, you know. But I found too that as you become more subtle and as we develop more yoga and as we become actually soul conscious, then the actual feeling of Brahma Baba being an older brother actually kicks in a lot more, you know, because in terms of pure soul consciousness, we are all brothers, but he is the eldest brother. You know, he is the senior most brother simply because he's the first human soul. You know, he's the one that's up the top, you know, of the tree, you know, and then there's Mama and the other sort of like souls, you know, that obviously right down to where we all are, you know. So I found that as I practiced soul conscious more and went into the point-like state more, I had more of a very, very subtle relationship with Brahma Baba, but not as a father so much, because he's the father of the people, he's the father of everyone. But that sort of title started to soften and melt away and become more of an older brother figure sort of thing, you know, that that he is the one with the most experience, not only life experience, but experience with Shiv Baba and the knowledge, you know. So it took me a long while, actually, for me, many, many years, to actually start to ask advice from Brahma Baba, because he's so experienced, you know. And plus, like Baba said in Sakamuralis recently, you know, he's been through, and Brahma Baba said, the storms come to me first. You know, no matter how old he was, all the storms that everyone else sort of like will have in their mind will come to him first, you know. So he's experienced with that. So I found that if anything was coming up, doing service, because I've done service in a lot of different places and things like that, some obstacles or things like that, then I can ask readily advice Brahma Baba, because he's experienced in handling situations on the physical level, you know, especially the start of the Yagya, building the Yagya, managing all the children and the buildings and Madhuban, so he has all of that experience. So it took me it took me some time to actually, I guess, I mean, I would say, is it humility to actually swallow your pride and actually ask for advice? Because I know in Australia this is a big thing, you know, about asking for help. I mean, even logically, it's a big thing. It's a sign of, they say, it can be, because of body consciousness, a sign of weakness. You know, you're asking for help, but it's not a sign of weakness. It means that you need, you know, someone or something or another view of a situation where you can actually overcome it and then work with it, you know. And I found it actually really helped me to ask Bap Dada together, you know, because Shiv Baba has the raw knowledge of everything that he's taught, but Brahma Baba has the, of course, we hear in the Avyaktamuralis, the application of the knowledge in everyday life, you know, so he has that experience. And so to ask him, you know, for that is a very, it takes, I guess, like I said, it's like swallowing a bit of pride. And that's what I found for me. I had to swallow my pride and just ask, you know. And finally, when I guess when he answered the question about why taking birth in sort of like foreign lands, you know, that sort of like softened everything, sort of like for me anyway, because it answers a very deep question, a personal one, you know, that was obviously there since the very beginning, you know. So for me, I mean, now doing service here in Madhuban, you know, I've been staying here. I got locked down in Australia for 2 years, obviously, with COVID. We all got locked down. And where I got locked down in Melbourne was the most locked down city in the world, you know. It was a very draconian sort of thing. But I live at the Baxter Retreat Centre in Melbourne when I'm in Australia. So if you're ever going to get locked down in one of Baba's retreat centres. It's pretty good. It's not too bad. So I felt my heart went out, but because too many BKs, you know, because they have flats, you have to lock down in a box, You know, so I mean, I couldn't imagine. I was very, very grateful to Baba being locked down in on 20 acres of nature. So, I mean, with a big retreat center. And but during that time, during those 2 years, I had a lot of time to think about my relationship with both fathers, you know, together. And I must say, after 2 years, because when Baba said, you know, have an hour in the evening and an hour in the morning and whenever you can, because he's at the start of the pandemic, of course, many Borg messages came about, you know, this virus that's going around and what we should do. And Baba said, use this time for yourself. This time has been given in the drama for yourself. So use it to, you know, propel yourself forward, you know, with your efforts. And I found that because I concentrated more on yoga, an hour in the evening, I was always there, you know, an hour in the morning. And then I started getting up very early. Sometimes I'd wake up at 2, sometimes 2:30, just naturally wake up and I'd feel awake. So I'd get up and have yoga, you know. And I feel that at the end of the 2 years, I really moved a lot forward in my spiritual efforts, you know. And part of that was getting to know Brahma Baba more and the relationship with Shiv Baba and in the subtle regions, you know. And if any of you know, I've done a few sort of like classes on the subtle regions because, of course, when I came to Baba, as I said, I had a lot of visions. So I had a lot of experiences, and even with Brahma Baba in the subtle regions, you know. And these subtle relationships that we have, I mean, our relationship with Baba can improve if we improve our relationships with everyone else, is what I found, you know. Because, I mean, Shiv Baba has always said, try and get on with everyone, you know, don't get angry, you know, tolerate, accommodate, you know. If someone wants their own way, then leave it. You know, it's good to be peaceful in yourself and just let them have their own way, you know, but keep your own peace, you know. Don't try and oppose anyone and don't sort of like, you know, come into conflict with anyone, you know. And I found that for me, I mean, I heard very early on, in Gyan, there was this quote by Abraham Lincoln, this old American president, you know, the best way to conquer an enemy is to make him your friend. You know, this is a fantastic quote. And I heard that very early on. I thought, man, it was a very, very wise sort of thing, you know. So in doing service, I found, and especially doing service in India and for a foreigner, you know, sometimes it can be a little challenging. You know, because, I mean, we all have fixed views about many different things, you know, and even in our relationships with Baba. But I found that if we come and meet in the middle, you know, it's like a compromise. It's not your idea and it's not their idea, but you can mold yourself and sort of like work with someone, then you can actually meet in the middle and actually things start moving forward very fast after that rather than coming into conflict. And when I started thinking about that, I started thinking about also, it's like with my relationship with Bap and Dada as well, you know, because if I'm amicable in my relationships in as a Brahmin at the confluence age, then I'm getting full support from Baba. You know, because I'm not opposing others or seniors or, you know, other Brahmins because my idea is better or their idea, I don't like their idea or anything like that. And I found from early on that, I mean, everyone views things differently. You know, it's not my idea or their idea, it's just a different solution to the same thing or a different path in order to reach a certain goal, but it might not be the path that I would want, you know, to take. So, and I found that my relationship with Bap Dada became a lot more loving when I found that I worked with others rather than against others. You know, if I'm amicable in my relationships as a Brahmin with all Brahmins and the Brahmin family, then I'm getting extra help from Baba and extra good wishes from Baba, you know, because he sees, you know, your personality is such. And he's mentioned this also in Sakamoli recently, I think in the last 4 or 5 days, about how some don't get on and there's arguments and things, but Bap Dada loves the souls who actually, you know, are sweet and can sort of like get on with others. And I found that I've had that sort of ability because I've lived in a few centres and quite a few brothers, Bhavans as well. And of course, Brahmins have karma for the last 2,500 years, and there's a lot of different personalities, very unique personalities with a very interesting sort of sanskara, as I found. But I found it very, very interesting, I guess not from a psychological point of view, but from a knowledgeable point of view, that the sanskaras that can affect a soul's thinking right at the end of the cycle from all the karma that we've had for many, many lives, you know, and how it's shaped our thinking right at the end of the cycle, you know, and how we see everything, you know. And and I think because of that and memories from the past, hidden memories, you know, we can find it hard to have relationships with not only Bap Dada but with other Brahmins as well, you know, within the family. But I always remember I had this one vision in when I was in a butti, and I came into Gyan and in Bondi in Sydney in Australia, and this Bondi beach is very famous. And a month actually after I came into Baba, I came to Baba, Daddy Prakashmani and Mahini, little Mahini, and Gentiben came and visited for a tour of Australia. And I always remember that actually after the program, we hired the pavilion on Bondi Beach and Krishna came. So we always have this intoxication that Krishna came on Bondi Beach in Australia, you know. So it was very, very interesting. I was only a month in Gyan, you know. I had no idea what was going on, but it was, we were all clapping and it was all this. I don't know if you've ever seen, anyone ever seen when Mahini went into trance and Krishna came, you know. No one's ever seen that. It's like she becomes very lively, and Daddyji has balls and other things to sort of like play with, and they play with Krishna. It's very, very, it's very intoxicating, you know, because the vibration gets very lifted a lot. But in those early days, you know, the relationships that I had, especially at the center, were very unique, and that the buddies were very unique because in those days we had 2 to 3 hour buddies, you know. And I had these visions, and one of the visions was I was standing right in front of Mama and Baba, and so were a lot of other Brahmins. And I think they might have been foreigners or just children in general. And Baba was talking about the virtues of the Brahmin family, you know. So that we have to see the virtues of the Brahmin family, because if we see the virtues of the Brahmin family, then we can get to know those virtues and then use them for ourselves and then cooperate with everyone. And then as he was talking, we all took this lift, you know, and we all went up, and it all changed, and we were standing on this hill overlooking this Golden Age palace, like we were in the Golden Age on this hill. And but this palace was like huge, it was massive, it went for such a long time. And then Baba was talking about that the virtues of the Brahmin family and your relationships, you know, will carry over into the relationships with all the deities, you know, because you have relationships. All the Brahmins, we're all becoming deities, so our relationships with each other will carry over into the Golden Age as well, you know. So we will have relationships with each other. So this set me on the path to actually, you know, having relationships, the nice subtle relationship with Shibaba and Brahma Baba, but also with Brahmins, you know, which is very, very important, you know. And as I said, during the COVID time, when I had more yoga, my relationship became even more, I think, loving I can say, you know, and I felt more comfortable in myself, in my relationship with Bap Dada, as well as everyone else, you know. And I guess it's also with age, as you get older, you know, a lot of things you used to sort of like worry about and to say, you don't care anymore, you know. Sort of just leave it, you know. So, I mean, it's really, really interesting, the progress that you can see yourself. But it does take a little bit of effort in yoga and churning to actually, like Baba said in that vision, you know, you see the virtues of someone, but you can think about their virtues and think about, like, and this is what I had to do with Brahma Baba. I had to think about his role, think about his virtues, what he's done, and have that admiration and respect for everything that he did, you know, because he was, I mean, he had a lot on his plate, you know, and he didn't sleep much, and he had to have, because he was so busy, though, with children and writing letters, and he had to have yoga very early in the morning to have his own time with Shiva Baba, you know, because he was there. If you like, the children, I don't know, there are lots of mothers here, children can be very demanding. So if you have hundreds of children, thousands of children, and they all want, you know, either your attention or advice from you and things like that, you know, it can get quite, I guess for parents, it can get a little bit draining of energy. So my subtle experience with Baba has been also one of appreciation lately, you know, of Baba. And going to the subtle region, one of my favorite things, even during the day, I don't have to sit in yoga, is just going to the subtle region and talking with Bap Dada, you know, and talking with Brahma Baba, you know, because he's there all the time now. So he's there for advice. So, I mean, it's really nice that I can see things in the drama that's happening, and then sort of comment with Bap Dada, or, you know, about certain things, and you might actually get a touching or a feeling about something in what to do, and it's quite interesting when you make your yoga that subtle, that you can have that subtle connection and relationship with Bap Dada. But it does require quite a bit of yoga, the subtle yoga. It's not hard. What I call hard yoga is going into the, you know, you sit there and you concentrate, you know. But in the early days, that's how I used to do yoga, you know, because you're inexperienced with having meditation or with having a connection, even with Shiva Baba, you know. And when you become more subtle, the connection is, for me anyway, it's softened. So I don't sit and I don't have to concentrate so readily now. It becomes very natural. And I think that was the two years of having yoga in lockdown helped a lot, actually, for that. And so the effort I have now is to continue that, you know, out of lockdown, even when you start to get busy, because during lockdown, not very busy. You go shopping every now and again, or you know, have to clean your bathroom or something like that, you know. But the centre was closed, you know, because there was no activities allowed at the centre, the retreat centre. So you're just doing day-to-day things. So I think for us to continue that sort of efforts that we did, I mean, did everyone make sort of extra efforts during lockdown, you know, because you had that extra time, you know? For some, obviously, their work still continued, their lockdown job still continued and things like that. But, to continue that during this time now, I think that was a good signal for us to keep doing it, you know, because we can see the world, you know, time's getting close towards the end, you know. I mean, this war in Ukraine, all of a sudden it happened, and, you know, it can turn at any time, you know, the world. It takes one thing and the world, the whole world, it changes the whole direction of the world. You know, the direction of the world can sort of like be going along, and then one sort of thing that happens in the drama, and the whole world has to turn almost in the drama and head in another direction, which of course is all designed to take it further down into chaos. You know, the drama is designed like that, you know, because even though they want a world order and peace in the world, of course we know that in the drama it's just not possible. You know, the body conscious devices, the greed, the egos of leaders and everyone in that won't allow them to actually get along, you know. But of course the drama will force them into doing things, you know, which is what's happening, because at the moment the COP27 is sort of happening, you know, and they're all saying it. They're all saying, look, it's like, you know, we're too slow, too late. You know, because of greed, and the society that they've built is run on corporations, greed, profit, and things like that. And of course, now the drama and nature is forcing them to do things which they would never have done willingly, sort of like before, you know. So for us, our subtle relationship is more important now with Baba more than ever, simply because, you know, Baba says at the end, when things get really tough, it will be your subtle relationship, your subtle connection with Bab Dada and with Shiv Baba, you know, that will save you, sort of like at the end, because you'll know what to do. You'll get the touching about what to do and where you should go and things like that. And things will happen that, I mean, won't, will be surprised a lot of even Brahmins, I think, you know. I mean, I had one vision which was quite interesting, and this is about the end, you know. The vision was, I was standing in the basement car park of GCH in London. I was just standing in the basement car park and I was looking up. There's a ramp that goes up and the cars come through, you know, down into the basement. And when I looked up, all this water started pouring in through the opening. It was a huge volume of water, and it started pouring in down the slope and started filling the whole car park in the basement of GCH, you know. And I, in these visions, I don't know if I'm, it's me in the vision that's, or I'm in someone else's shoes, you know, because it's a very interesting, this is a whole another topic about, you know, things fixed in the drama, that you can see things ahead of time. I mean, because it's fixed, you know, which is what, obviously, some people have that ability. But I must have been in someone else's shoes, because they said, look, we have to get to the roof, you know, we have to go up, you know. And I looked to the left, and then there's the stairwell, you know, up in the thing. And so I didn't know where that vision was until in 2015. I was doing service in London for 3 months, just some animations for the website, and they dropped me off in the basin. I was standing in the exact spot where I had the vision, looking up at the thing. I thought, whoa, it was here, because I didn't know where it was before that. It was just this random vision, you know. So, and I thought, wow. So then I Google Earth GCH, and it's 50 meters above sea level, which means the oceans rise at least 50 meters at some point, you know, if the vision is accurate. And I don't give myself visions. Of course, Baba's the only one who has that key, you know. So obviously something happens. And I know in Australia, you know, so many BKs have had visions of these massive waves hitting the east coast of Australia, bigger than cities. You know, the waves are taller than the buildings, you know, just coming through and smashing everything, you know. So because in Australia, the Aboriginals have this legend, if you like, and it's called the last wave. It's in something called their dream time, which is actually a memorial of the confluence age. It's quite interesting. And the last wave is the wave to hit Australia, and then all their tribes will move inland. So these sorts of things are due to happen, but so we have to really take care of our subtle relationship with Baba and Bab Dada. Sorry, my voice is going. Which is something that happened to me as a teenager. I had an operation on my throat, so I can only talk for maybe 45 minutes before it starts to disappear. Anyway, so that's sort of like my experience with subtle relationships. And does anyone else have sort of like their experience with any tough time having an experience with Brahma Baba and Shiva Baba together, or Abab Dadar together? Anyone have good experiences? No? No. Different sort, yeah. Yeah, it's because, like I said, everyone's karmic situation is different. Everyone's family situation is different. So everyone's relationship with Bab Dada is different, you know. But it's to go deep, I think, into ourselves and our own karma and try and settle the karma we have, not only through yoga, but through understanding that we do have these accounts that might block us from having good relationships with either others or Bab Dada, you know, or Brahma Baba. You know, and once we sort of unlock that and unlock the, have the key to that and unlock it, then it becomes much, much easier, very sort of like, for me anyway, it was much more loving and much more of an understanding as well, especially as Brahma Baba, as the older brother sort of thing, you know. Now that I say that out loud, it sounds a bit funny, you know. But if you're in a very, very soul-conscious state, and for me, practicing the point-like state, I mean, this was one of the last Murlis of the first time I went to Madhuban. The last Murli was about practicing the point-like state. And you can only reach the subtle state if you practice the point-like state, you know. So for me, when I'm in the point-like state, you can see all, I mean, I don't know about anyone else, but I can see like almost all the souls of the world as souls. But also then you can see Brahma Baba as that soul who is like the elder brother. You know, he's the senior-most soul. So, but there's also, of course, another relationship with him as, you know, the father of sort of like the people, but also the father of Brahma Kumaris. He's the great, 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 great grandfather. Because there's so many generations of Brahmins. So, you know, Bab Dada. So, I mean, I think the Hindi word Dada actually means grandfather, doesn't it? Yeah. So, but Bab Dada together. So, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So this is behind you. Yeah. You wanted to ask a question? It's always like that, isn't it? When you, because we, a lot of the time, I remember Daddy Jenki saying this, I think we overthink things, you know. I mean, the knowledge is actually very simple, but we seem to overthink things. And especially sometimes in a situation for us, I mean, I've done it all the time, you know, but what I mentioned really, just let it go. But I mean, we overthink things and we can't decide whether to do it this way or this way. I mean, for me, everyone says, when I tell others, they say, oh, it's because you're a Gemini. You know, you're always in two minds about things, you know. But I don't look at it as in two minds. I look at it as you can do things two ways. Either way works. It's just which is the best way to sort of like to do the thing. And I found that that technique that you said, you know, if you step back and just have yoga and have that subtle connection with Baba, then the direction from Baba comes, so you're not interfering with the direction that you should take with your own overthinking, if you know what I mean. So the technique you said, when you step back and you have the yoga, and then you seem to get this feeling or hear this sort of like voice that, you know, you do it this way, then that is like the way to actually do it. And that's what we'll have to do towards the end when things get really tough and things will happen fast and quickly. We have to make a split decision. There's no thinking about it. You just have to do it, you know. So this is why that subtle yoga and those subtle relationships are so good with Bapdada, you know. So I was thinking, yeah. My mother, Lokik mother, she did the course. I gave her the course. I mean, she was I'm going to say this, she was an old Barossi soul, because I saw a very young photo of her. She had long black hair and a plait. She looked straight out of India, except with just pale skin, because her parents were English, you know. But she looked straight, and she did Hatha yoga her whole life. She was always up at 5 a.m. doing Hatha yoga, you know, without sort of like stopping her whole life, you know. And she, before I came to Baba, she was also searching. She went to other ashrams as well. And she was actually the only support I got when I did the course with Baba and I came to Baba, whereas all the others in the family were against me going, because in the 80s it's this culty, you know, it's a cult, you're going to be brainwashed, all of that sort of stuff, you know. But she was the one who was the most supportive, so we used to sit and talk for hours, you know, about sort of spiritual knowledge, and she knew Baba was coming in Madhuban. But then 6 months after that, she left the body. And I had a very interesting experience, because I was staying in a brother's house. This is in the second year of Gyan, so this is 1987. And I got a phone call at 11 p.m. from my father saying that, you know, this has happened, accident. You know, she actually drowned. So it was things like that. So I thought, well, I'd better go sit in Baba's room. We had a Baba's room. Sit in Baba's room and, you know, give the soul good wishes and all that sort of like support. So I sat down in Baba's room and I sat there and I started having yoga. and like you, there was this voice inside my head. It was very clear. It said, don't worry, Baba's done it all. You know. And I thought, Baba's done it all. And then I had this clear, distinct picture that because she got Baba's introduction, she became Baba's child, she had the right to Baba's help, you know. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. Even for such a short time that she had Baba's, you know, she has Baba's help, you know, because she has received Baba's introduction. And then when I went to bed and rolled over, I just felt these arms go around me. So it was like Baba's arms all around me, and I just dropped off to sleep. So it was very, very interesting. It was a very lovely experience, you know. And my Lokik father, he didn't take any knowledge, but I found out just before he left the body, he died of cancer, that he'd secretly bought all the posters and studied them from one of the centers, you know, because he outwardly he was always sort of like a bit sort of like this. And I think that was the typical Australian male. Outwardly they're sort of like, you know, but secretly, you know, they sort of like and sort of, you know, show a soft spot or, you know, intrigue or interest, you know, in something that's not normal per se, you know. So, which really shocked me, you know, because he never told me, you know. So, it's very, very interesting. So, it was an interesting experience with him as well, because I got a touching from, I was at work and I got a lucky job, and I got this very strong feeling and touching from Baba that I should go see him. So, I went and saw him, and when I was seeing him, because he was like the cancer had. He should have left ages ago, weeks ago. You know, the body was nothing left of the body, you know. And so I lay down with him on the bed, and I just discussed death and the soul. I said, what do you think life is? What do you think, you know? Because I had to ask him these questions, because he was against me in Yam, but he had to be open to something, you know, because he knew his time was coming, you know, and he thought that obviously it's not just one life, you know, and this is because he had looked at all the posters as well, that, you know, there has to be something more, otherwise there's no meaning. There's no meaning to life to just that there are 60 years and then gone. You know, what's the point? You know, so, and then he admitted about his attachment to the family, you know, children, wife, things like that. You know, he was in his second marriage. So I could feel that when he admitted all of this, it was a big burden off his shoulders, you know, off his chest sort of thing. So it had released him in some way. And he left the body 2 days later. You know, so obviously just admitting that, you know, and things like that, getting that out, it means you've accepted your fate at that time and that you have to leave, you know. So that was how sort of like knowledge and my parents, you know. So I have an older brother and sister, and my brother left the body about, when was it? 5-6 months ago. So I went back to Australia for a couple of months. Saw my sister, and he was a very good born-again Christian. But we used to talk a lot about the cycle, because, of course, in Christianity, the cycle is the creation is only 6,000 years old, you know. So he firmly believed that it was like that, you know. So we had some good discussions. So, and my sister has a very nice life in New Zealand, so she's not really interested. So. So it's, I'm actually, so that's why I actually stayed for long periods in Maruban, because I'm actually, luckily I don't have much, I mean, I used to work and things like that, but saved up some money and then, you know, some inheritance you can get to sort of like sustain you. And I was very lucky in that way. I was very fortunate to be able to do Baba's service here and have this self-taught skill, but it's Baba's fault that I have this skill, because when I came back from Maruban in the late 80s, I had no job and no money. So I was sitting there at Amritvela saying, Baba, you know, what do I do? If I have to work for the next 25 years, what should I do? Very strong word, very loud. Computers. You know, and this is 1988, something like that. You know, the computers, what's a computer? You know, I didn't know. But the centre had just bought the first ever built PC, you know, called the XT, and so I started learning it in the center, and then I got a job from that for a year on a huge 8-foot computer, and it just went from that, and then graphics, and then I thought I should learn animation while I was in the Baxter Retreat Center in 1998. I thought, you know, there's potential here to do service with this thing that's coming up, and I could see it moving forward very rapidly, you know, because computer power was moving forward and animations were moving forward. So I thought, if I learn something, we can do some service with it, you know. And sure enough, it was, I think that was Baba's influence as well. So I mean, so Baba's guiding me. If you have that good relationship with Baba, like you said, he can guide you in situations and steer you in a direction, you know, but you have to ask his advice and have that really great relationship with him. Is it? That's traffic control, is it?
कर्मों के बल पर ही सतयुग में तुमको आना है शिव पिता को अब याद करो
आया है ब्रह्मा से शिवा
विकराल विनाश खड़ा आगे सतयुग में अब तुम्हें आना है
धाम में तुम्हें
सतयुग में अब तुम्हें आना है
धाम में तुम्हें गाना है
शांति I think it's till 12. Yeah, sure. I think sometimes when you said that, you know, you don't get an answer from Baba, I was thinking that, you know, sometimes Baba, in order to make the child strong and grow up, you know, grow, that he doesn't give advice. He lets the child experience, you know, making their own decisions, you know. I've encountered this in the past as well, for me, as well as for other Brahmins in Australia, you know, because that's the one thing when Baba used to meet the Australians, he used to say all the time, you know, is that, you know, because we had no senior, well, I mean, we had Didi Nirmala there, but because, you know, London had, and Europe had Daddy Janki, you know, India had Daddy Prakashmani and the other seniors, so, and, the Americas was close to London, but Australia was so far down under that it was away from it. So Baba said that, you know, this is because for you to grow, and he used to tell the Australians this, and stand on your own two feet. He said this in order to get your own experience, to make your own decisions, and for you to grow, you know, because we learn from our mistakes. You know, we can review it and say, well, what was I thinking at the time, or what did I do that's not right, and how can I change the aspect of something that didn't work out, you know, because it is, when we look at something, it's not, like Baba has said in many Avikakta Manis, it's not failure. It's an opportunity to learn and grow, you know. And many people, either in sports or in other places, they all say this, you know, it's not failure. It's actually an opportunity to learn. Look what we did and maybe do it a little bit differently, you know, later on. And I think Baba does this so we can grow, so we can actually stand on our own two feet and make our own decisions. Because it'd be like a child always asking the parent, oh, do this, but they won't learn anything doing that, you know. They won't get their own experience, you know. And sometimes you have to fall in order to get the experience, in order to learn, okay, don't do that, because can be a little bit painful, you know. And it's the same with little children as well. Sometimes they have to fall down and scrape their knee in order to learn that you can't do that, and that's not the laws don't work like that, you know, that karma doesn't work like that. So with us as well, for our spiritual efforts, sometimes I think Baba just steps back and lets the children sort of experience and learn, you know, and let them make mistakes so that we do learn and we know not to do that, sort of like later on, you know. So I think Baba's a sort of interesting teacher as well, you know. He doesn't just, what's that word, mollycoddle the children, you know, give them what they want all the time, because then the children become spoiled and demanding, you know. Isn't that the case with all the kids? You just keep giving them what they want, they'll never learn that there are limitations, you know. Yeah, so I think it's like that. Yeah, subtle regions. Actually, I was thinking more on the subtle regions sort of recently, over the last month or two, because I came across this term in science fiction or science, and it's called pocket dimension. You know, that I started to view the subtle regions as like a, what they call a pocket dimension. You know, because we know the soul world is one dimension, and we know this world, the physical universe, is another dimension. But there's no, obviously there's no physical boundaries, because the soul world is spiritual light. It's not a physical place, but it is a dimension. It's a dimension of light. So we have this physical dimension as well. And we know that when Shiva Baba first came down, he created the subtle regions. So he's almost wedged a pocket dimension in between the two dimensions, like a little cocoon dimension, in order to serve Brahmins and obviously create our perfect forms. Because, you know, you hear, I don't know, you know all the stories of Gulzar Devi when she was young seeing Avyakta Brahma in the early days, and then Brahma Baba asking, well, ask who he is, you know, because he looks like you, but he's not you, he looks different, you know. So he said, I'm the perfect Brahma. So everyone's perfect form is there waiting, you know, and we can connect with it any time. You know, we all have our light image up there, you know, which is why in, I guess, the visions I had, I'm standing in front of Baba, and I was in my light form, you know, just interacting in the subtle regions. But there's no corners or walls or anything like that. It's just white light. But when you see, like I was seeing, looking at Baba and Mama and the children, we're all standing, but you're not seeing anything you're standing on, because there's no floor there. I mean, you know, so, and of course, it's all made of light. So Baba can make, and of course you hear all some of the transmissions where he's made a garden and he's made this and that. So Shiva Baba can make this all with his mind, you know, so, and project this into the mind of the children, you know. So Shiva Baba, he's God. He made the subtle regions. Brahma Baba didn't make the subtle regions. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Brahma Baba, Shiva Baba is in control. Don't have two thoughts about that. Brahma Baba tags along, but also, you know, because in the very early Avyakta Murlis, you hear very wonderful Murlis that Shiva Baba and Brahma Baba were having a heart-to-heart conversation. You know, and you hear these conversations, you read about the conversation, you know, because Shiva Baba is still, I'm going to say puppet master, you know, Karan Karavanhar. And he still uses Brahma Baba to do service, you know, just like he did in Sakha form. But now, as he said, Brahma Baba has no physical limitations anymore. He'd sleep, eat, you know, all of those bodily things. So he can, he's awake 24 hours, so he can use and go into service anywhere, you know. But in terms of giving messages and things like that, I mean, obviously Bapdada are always in sync, you know, because they're so close. Like when Shiva Baba and Brahma Baba, you know, like I said before, you can imagine what Brahma Baba was, you know, if Shiva Baba is speaking to Murali, he's hearing it first, but he must also be hearing it in the mind as well, because Shiva Baba is sitting right beside him, you know. So they're always in sync, but it is Shiva Baba who's in control. And I mean, for me, this is going off anyway, it's a little bit of a story about how much Shiva Baba gets involved with service and the children. I didn't realize it until 2015. I'd finished the service in London, and we went to meet Ramesh Bhai in Mumbai because it was the start of this animated film they wanted to start. So we wanted some stories from Ramesh Bhai. So Ramesh Bhai had this wonderful story about this. They had made this new exhibition set in Mumbai, and it was Mama's idea. But Brahma Baba wasn't so keen on the new exhibition set, I guess because he must have liked the older one. But they'd made this new exhibition set, so they sent a sister into trance in the centre to get, you know, Baba's final, it's okay, you know, good, go ahead and get them made, you know. So the sister went into trance, and this is Ramesh's story. I hope I'm telling it, doing it justice and telling it accurately. The sister went into trance, and she was in trance for a long time, but then they realized that the eyes were just slightly open, you know, but nothing was being said. She wasn't there, and so someone went up. I don't know if it was the sister in charge or Ramesh, said, "Are you Baba?" You know, and Baba said, "Yes." And I said, "Baba, why have you come?" You know, he says, "Because children have made a new exhibition set, but they didn't ask Baba about any changes that they should make." You know, so Baba wants to make some small changes. So they brought each picture in front of Baba, and he told them a small change to make in each picture, you know. And then at the end, when he finished, they said, "Well, you know that Baba wasn't really supportive of this idea." And Shiva Baba said, "Don't worry, that child has his own opinions. I'll talk to him." You know, so it must be talking inside, obviously, the head, you know, because he can't talk any other way. Sort of, so then the head yogi and Shiva Baba left, you know. And that story made me realize how much of a hands-on father Shiva Baba is. You know, he's getting involved in service to the point of changing the pictures, you know, that they should be accurate, you know. But Brahma Baba, and then a few days later, apparently, Brahma Baba rang the center and said, "Congratulations on the new exhibition set, you know, it's wonderful," things like that. So obviously, Shiva Baba had a word with him, sort of like, you know, in Madhavan. So it was very funny, and it was a very interesting story, you know, about how Shiva Baba, you wouldn't think, because many, I remember speaking to many Brahmins, "Oh, he's up there, but he doesn't really do much. He just sort of like inspires anything." But he has actually a really hands-on dad, you know. So I remember in one of the Sakamolis, you know, he referred to himself as the dearest dad. I think that was just the translation. I'm not sure if that's accurate or not, but it was quite interesting. Subtle difference in consciousness. So who's supplying the food? Who's supplying the food, you know? Because it's Baba's institution. Without, you know, he created everything, you know, through Brahma, through the children, you know. So everything belongs to Baba. So it is Baba's food that we're eating. Yeah, so Baba is feeding us, you know. So Om Shanti. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, we know, I mean, from the knowledge, I mean, the descriptions of the subtle world, that it's the Brahmapuri, which is where Brahma Baba is white light. So, I mean, for me, I guess, because I've, since childhood, I've had an active imagination, you know, which is probably why I did graphics and animation, you know, because I can visualize things quite easily. But these things, the visions I had, and then these things I experienced in the subtle regions that Baba was showing, I mean, you get to see, I mean, for those who haven't had that, it can be a little bit difficult, but it is just white light. But you can imagine just, maybe you can imagine just Baba sitting there, like, and but ethereal, like a ghost. I don't know if anyone's ever seen images of what they depict in movies of ghosts, you know, this ethereal body, you know, that's not solid, you know, but made of light. And we know that it's a white light surrounding as well. So, and lately I've been picturing it not only as this like pocket dimension, but it's like Brahma Baba's description that it's another room off to the side, you know, and you change your dress into your light body, you know, so you change your form into your light body, and you can experience that because it's one of the five forms Baba's talked about, you know, the avyakta form. And then put yourself in a room, a completely white room, but it's just made of light, you know. So maybe you can sort of like try and imagine it like that, you know. And then when we went up into the Golden Age has its own level, which is Vishnupuri, but that's only to show children what the Golden Age is like, you know. There's no room per se, I guess. It's just a level, I guess, there. I mean, I don't know really how Baba made us transition to Vishnupuri. I have seen Shankarpuri, which is quite interesting, because when I was standing in Shankarpuri, I could see the soul world right there, and I could see the boundary between the subtle world and the soul world, and if I put my arm up, it would have gone through the boundary into the soul world. That's how close the boundary was, and I could see a slight curve to the boundary. So this must have been the dimensional barrier or curve, you know, because one of the original three worlds from very early on showed as egg-shaped. So it really is like that, you know, very accurate. So very curved. So that was quite interesting, I thought. So for me, because I guess Baba's shown me these things, it's easy, but you can, from the descriptions that Baba gives about the subtle regions, you can sort of like start to picture how it is, and Baba will give you a nice experience, I think. So, yeah. Deep silence. If you can't get to the point-like stage and in deep silence, if you take yourself to Shankarpuri, because you know it's the third level in the subtle region, it's like you can still think, but you can still experience silence at the same time. It's quite interesting. It's like a mix. You can stay there and you can sort of like, you can feel that there's silence there, but you're still aware of yourself in like a form, if you know, I guess because you're there in your light form, you know. So you're not just the point in soul world, you're there in your subtle body. So you can still experience that silence. And that's the symbol of Shankara, deep tapasya. Still experience the silence, but there's a form there. Yeah. So rather than just the point. Yeah. Yeah, it's all very... Yeah, very interesting. I always like this stuff. So, yeah. Anyway, I think that's the signal. I can, I mean, if I go like now, I just went in, I thought it's the subtle world, just then I went and I had both standing there, and you can tell the difference. I mean, you know, I mean, in thought, yes, I think, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, as long as the advice is great and it works. You know, it doesn't matter who it comes from. But I mean, for me, I think there's a secret in the subtle regions about Brahma Baba that I won't share just yet, because I mean, Brahma Baba is there, but a lot of the time he's what I get for me is that he is like when Daddy Gulzai used to go into trance, or a trance messenger goes into trance, Baba pulls them under. So I think a lot of the time Brahma Baba is under, not aware. And then when Shiv Baba needs him to do something, then pulls him back out. And I think I know why he does that from the experience. It was quite, because when I first sort of came across this, when I went to subtle regions, you know, I mean, I first came across this, sorry, in a, it's dragging on a bit, in a butty. I was sitting in the butty and I found myself almost sitting face to face with Baba in the subtle world. And but it was Brahma Baba. I could tell it was Brahma Baba. And the first question I asked is, where is Shiv Baba? And the answer was, look in front of you. You know, so in the butty, I looked at the sister, and the sister's eyes were very narrow, you know, and then she turned and looked straight at me, and I was, and it was like a 2-hour butty, and I think this is how Shiv Baba helps the children, you know, by subtly entering and giving, because he says, you know, when he courses, he needs knowledge to be given or anything like that, he does this, you know. And at the end of the bhati, everyone was saying, wow, that was so powerful, that bhati, you know, because, you know, Shiv Baba sort of like came in there. But that is when I first did distinguish directly between very different thought. You know, you could tell it was Brahma Baba, you know, it was a human thought, sort of like look in front of you, you know. But anyway, that's for another time.